Have you been wanting to start a podcast but not quite sure where to start? If so, I'd love for you to check out my online course called How to Start a Podcast in 24 Hours. Here we'll dive into all of the things you need to get started. Things like how to name your podcast, which microphone to use, how to edit, and lots more. Go to realdavidezel.com to learn more. That's realdavidezel.com to learn more.
Freedom over fame. Freedom over cycle stays the same.
Welcome in, everyone, to How to Ride a Roller Coaster. I'm your host, David Ezel. Here, we'll talk with business owners and founders on what it's like to ride the roller coaster known as entrepreneurship. How to navigate the highs, the lows, as well as tangible tips that you can use right now to kickstart your business or idea. Let's get to it. Welcome to this episode of How to Ride a Roller Coaster. I'm David Ezel, and today I'm joined by Blake Mishley. Blake is the founder of Meet Your Class. Meet Your Class is a student-facing social networking system that helps university enrollment and student life departments better understand and reach their prospective student body. What's going on?
Not much, just finishing up the exam season here, so you know, really excited to be here.
Heck yeah. What are the plans for the summer? That's what everybody wants to know. That's what I want to know as I'm going to live vicariously through you.
I mean, pretty much the same as during the school year, just keep working on Meet Your Class. I'm taking a few summer courses just to lighten the load for my senior year, but just gonna keep grinding at this point, so nothing too exciting,
man. Oh, that's awesome. So tell us about Meet Your Class. Like, where did the problem come? Where did you see that, and what was that moment of, I need to do something about this?
Yeah, it's a bit funny, in all honesty. So really how it got started was, I am a junior at the University of Michigan. When I came to campus my freshman year, I met one of my main co-founders in the dorms freshman year, just first day on the campus. And the way we inadvertently met was off of this Instagram page that kind of incoming students used. So we met, recognized we're both pretty entrepreneurial. So we just kind of started iterating on a bunch of different things, went through different apps, products, and funnily enough, we actually landed on a caffeinated beverage we wanted to formulate, since I'm a slight caffeine addict. So I thought it would have been interesting to just try. But really, when we were formulating, we asked ourselves, okay, why is anyone going to buy this? Like, we need some marketing channels. So we kind of thought back to how we met inadvertently, which was through those Instagram kind of communities. So we decided, okay, let's start running some social media communities that students are organically going to. It's going to be free advertising for us. It's just going to take our only like payments, just going to be our time, and you know, our time's not really worth a whole lot right now, so it's going to be worth it. So we started managing a few of those communities. So at freshman year, started managing it, but we just recognized there was two things we kind of, I guess, recognized throughout that whole process. It was, one, there was a lot more value on those communities than we initially recognized. So a school that we were managing, just in the month of April, 200,000 unique people visited that. So we're like, wow, that's a lot more eyeballs than we expected. But you know, with the good, there's the bad. The bad was, I was manually posting 50 people a day for 200 days straight on top of college stuff. And so it was just not fun, as an understatement. But we kind of looked through that, throughout kind of like just the rough, all of that bad, we saw that there was something potentially really cool just through that value that was created. We just first kind of wanted to figure out, how could we actually scale it? So Meet Your Class really started as, how can we scale the operation of all these social media communities? But as we've kind of kept going down that path, you know, we dropped the caffeinated beverage, and we just kept following the data, iterating the product. And now we've landed at Meet Your Class. is a platform that kind of integrates into social media, and that's where students already are, and we're now using it as an enrollment driver for universities. So I've just been kind of small pivots here and there, but that's really where we're at now, is just really focusing on engaging students where they are and then helping universities.
Was entrepreneurship one of those things that you kind of grew up in, or was it just kind of one of those things that when you saw the opportunity, you just jumped?
Yeah, I think, like, looking back at it, there was always maybe the indicators that I was interested in entrepreneurship. When I was young, always just kind of hustling. Fun, like my first ever maybe thing that could be deemed an entrepreneurship venture was in middle school. I started a clothing brand based off of, funnily enough, the cool guy who could do backflips, who is actually now my CTO. So,
nice.
So, you know, sold a few hats, a few shirts back then, then did a few other things, like just random projects that kind of went halfway there, but nothing ever super to the extent that Meet Your Class has grown to be now. But it was really just, but there definitely were indicators that I was pretty, I knew that entrepreneurship was something I wanted to explore.
Yeah. Was just the sheer load on your shoulders up to this point, you know, with managing school, trying to build a business, trying to customer support, all of the things that you were having to do manually, was that one of the biggest things that you were like, man, there's literally not enough hours in the day. I have to figure out some way that I can fix this solution so that we can kind of go to the next thing?
I think for us, it was a lot of, I mean, that's how we found the problem in the first place. Like, we had no intention of, like, if you told me 2 years ago I'd be operating in this higher ed space, I would have kind of laughed. But now it's just been through, okay, this is a huge painful point for me, but I see there's a lot of value. We didn't know how to develop or web develop when we started out. We had to teach ourselves, but like literally it really just started, like, we had, you know, that pain point of there's not enough hours in the day to be doing this for 300 schools. I would probably pass away if I needed to. I just texted someone that I knew was very good at coding. Like, hey, is this possible? What would you do? It's like, this is what I would do. And so we just kind of set out and started learning. And so I think that's part of what I really do like about entrepreneurship. It's always, always learning. And it's a very fulfilling thing once you can actually see the product you've built.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. That's one of my favorite things about entrepreneurship as well, is you can take the idea from a note with a buddy on a napkin, and you can just, your ideas in your mind can go crazy, and you can actually build that thing. You know, I mean, there's not a lot of other places where you can really kind of do that. As you were starting and you were trying to figure out what the offering was, the value to bring, were there like focus groups? Was it meeting with people within the school and also the students just to figure out where that value was? Or how did you make sure that you're giving both sides what it is that would bring value?
Yeah, it really depends, like, at what angle you're looking at our business from. We started as a consumer, pretty much 100% consumer app. And I think that was just, we were living the problem. We, like, from a student side, Gen Z, newer generations, constantly online. They want to meet students. They want to be more familiar when they get on a campus before they actually even arrive. So, you know, going through that process itself, I had a lot of firsthand experience. A lot of my friends, it was just something that was pretty evident that the needs weren't being met from what existed. And so it was pretty easy to build. And, you know, we kind of threw out a very bad, like, not bad, I mean, it was definitely rough MVP that we just put out there, because we had no UI, UX skills, really nothing. And it just started to get users from, you know, previous, like, from just putting it out there. And so we just, you know, got better at coding, better at UI, got, you know, we're able to bring some people in to help as well. And so, like, that's from the consumer side of things. It was mainly just from firsthand experience. As we go into higher ed, it's definitely been just discovery, just a lot of discovery. I unfortunately do not have 20 years of enrollment experience that a lot of these people who found companies in higher ed do. And so being a U of M student's been particularly helpful, just because we won the national championship this year. So I think alumni have been a bit more happy or willing to take a 15-minute, 20-minute just chat. So it's been just a lot of discovery and trying to learn more and getting great advisors and mentors to really just help hone in our value prop for a university. I mean, it's still evolving, but it's definitely gotten a lot better since, you know, what we initially thought we'd be doing in higher ed.
No doubt. And so where does that kind of put you going into your senior year? Where are you thinking? I mean, is this launching point going forward, or is this still something where it's like, I'm going to do something else while I do this, or kind of, where are you thinking going into year four?
Yeah, it's I'm pretty much full in at this point. It's definitely crazy to think that the thing I started as had no intention of, you know, being a full project has been my full-time passion at this point. Where we've grown the team to be, and we're at like 5 full-time employees now, so it's definitely grown a lot. And it's definitely, once, you know, even though I'm working on it full-time, you know, there's still some school responsibilities. I'll be full-time, I guess, sure, extra full-time once I actually graduate. But it's definitely just the intention to, you know, keep running with it and seeing where, you know, we can take it.
Are you eager to dive into the world of podcasting but not sure where to start? Look no further than How to Create a Podcast in 24 Hours. This dynamic course is your ultimate guide to launching a podcast from scratch in just one day. Learn the ins and outs of podcast creation, from content planning to recording, editing, and promotion. Head over to realdavidezel.com to grab your spot in this transformative course. Unleash your creativity, share your passion, and connect with your audience. Start your podcasting journey today with How to Create a Podcast in 24 Hours. What's been one of your most proud moments of it so far? Like, as you've been going, hiring somebody, whatever the case, what's been one of those where you just kind of almost takes you and you have to kind of take a step back and be like, man, we're here. You know, I mean, like, what's been one of those big proud moments for you?
I mean, yeah, there's been a couple. I think, like, what's been super, I mean, I think it's just really cool to see the traction and actual effect we've had on a student side. I think it's really hard to, I mean, it's kind of a generic answer, but, and when you, it's really hard to like visualize anything bigger than like 100. And so we're at around 330,000 students now. We'll probably hit 400,000 this year, like total students we've helped. And, you know, that's especially in this transitionary period, you know, we're potentially making lifelong friends. I've met people who found their significant other through us inadvertently. Wow. And their roommates, like, these are like life altering decisions that people have entrusted in us. So I think that's just something sometimes I'll just think about and think like, wow, like, that's crazy. Like, this is potentially like altering history. You know, maybe it's just like, it's something small you don't really think about, but when you kind of think of like X causes Y, Y causes Z, and now you're in a complete, like, I just think about myself. Like, if I never met my co-founder at the freshman dorms through that page, I probably wouldn't be here today. So I can only imagine how many, you know, people I'm putting in positions that, you know, 3 years from now would be having the same thoughts that I'm having today. So it's just definitely a wild thing that I'm definitely very proud of.
And I think you're spot on. I mean, I was in college 2005 to 2009. So, I mean, I want to say it was like sophomore year was when Facebook first launched past Stanford. You know, so that you could actually get it and you could, yeah, crazy, right? But, and even then, I mean, it was pre-cell phone or at least pre-first version of the iPhone and all of that kind of stuff. So it was extremely difficult. And this was even at a smaller university. It was extremely difficult to meet other people that weren't forced beside you because of your class, because of your major, any of that kind of stuff. So, like, if I didn't have a class with somebody, if I wasn't in the same, you know, friendship hobby zone circle as they were, then chances are that our paths weren't going to cross, you know? So I think it's extremely valuable, even in the age of social media. Social media is a great helper and a great asset for it, but you still kind of tend to get in your own vacuum. You know, you still kind of only talk to the people that are into Michigan football or the people, you know, that kind of thing. So So I think it's super helpful. And again, from the higher ed standpoint, just so that everybody can kind of have that cross-pollination and it benefits both parties.
Yeah, no, spot on.
Man, that's, yeah, I mean, like I said, I'm just kind of like looking back and just wishing that something like this had been around whenever I was in college. What were some of the things that you wish that you knew when you started? Like if you could take what you know now, how you got through it, you know, unpop it and then just kind of stick it on your head from a few years ago, what would that look like? What were some of those things that just maybe gave you, you know, just kept you up late at night and now you look back on it and it's not quite so bad?
I think probably just the biggest thing has just been like life experience. I think being a student founder has been really, you know, fulfilling. And I think it's one of our competitive advantages is that we just really understand the newer generations. And for a lot of competitive apps, it's just, in all honesty, they're a little bit kind of not into what Gen Z actually wants. And so that's been really helpful. But again, at the end of the day, I'm 20, so I don't have a whole lot of life experience. So missing out on a lot of those higher ed aspects. I think when I started, it was just learning a bit more of professionalism. How do you actually speak languages? You're talking to people who have been in business or been in their industry longer than you've been alive. It's just, it's something that requires you to just mature a bit. So really just going back to my younger self, like 2 years ago, double checking documents or like format, like there's just a lot of small things that, you know, maybe to me didn't seem like a big deal, but probably would have made a huge impact if I just had really dotted my I's and crossed my T's a bit more. But I just think it's been a really great learning experience all. Like, I don't know if there's anything I would have specifically done differently because, you know, I'm here today. It's just definitely, it's just being able to grow with it and, you know, fail and learn from the failure has been really fulfilling. And just, I'm sure, yeah, in a year or two, there's going to be things that I wish I would have known too. So it's just going to, again, kind of why entrepreneurship is just so exciting.
So, yeah, all of those things. I totally agree. And like you mentioned earlier on in our chat, you know, just the MVP, just kind of getting something out there, you know, sometimes it's hard to look at and all of that kind of stuff, but that's the beauty. And I feel like that's where a lot of times entrepreneurs get stuck is they want that MVP to be perfect, you know, and that's never the goal. It's get it out there, get feedback, see what people think, see what people say, and then iterate off of that. So everybody else on your team, 5 employees, all that, is everybody kind of in that same mindset of just entrepreneurship? Let's, you know, lock the door, let's shut it down, let's figure out how we can keep building.
I mean, it's pretty much, I mean, so it is 4 main co-founders. And then, so we were pretty much just running the business solely for the first, like 3/4 of a year. And then the first summer we hired our first intern who was UI UX, since that was kind of a weak point on the team. Since then added another head of like community management, 2 more, or, you know, 3, then 3 more devs. And so I think like the whole, I think one thing that we have right on our team is definitely the culture. Like that's the first thing that I wanted to make sure when we were hiring these new people is just understanding it's a startup. It's they're going to be here through the lows, the highs. And everyone's just super passionate about, you know, our mission, what we're doing, the momentum we have, and it's just very exciting on the team. The goal is to hopefully get office space and everyone moves in person once we actually kind of decide where we're going to be setting up shop. But it's definitely like, yeah, lock it down. We have, you know, just keep pushing code. Like just today, nice. We have our like weekly UI UX stand up and just thought of something and it's going to hopefully be pushed by the end of this call. So I think that's something that's really exciting. And too, just quickly you can iterate when you're kind of a smaller team.
And yeah, so nimble. You can, like you said, you have a great idea. You want to see what the feedback is like. You can implement it and see what happens.
Yeah.
And especially like you were talking about, like starting out as an entrepreneur, growing that business, a lot of times we're focused in one area, like my expertise is UI UX or marketing or whatever the case may be. But I mean, you have to learn sales. You have to learn kind of a little bit of all of it, at least if nothing else, so that you can speak to it, so that you can see where gaps might be, so that you can know how to fill them, know how to find the right people to fill them, all that kind of stuff. I take it you're probably a learner. So, I mean, do you just kind of dive headfirst into that kind of stuff too, like the aspects of business that you may not be uber familiar with or fall naturally into your wheelhouse?
Yeah, I mean, I would say so. I mean, generally it's definitely just learning. I think there's the team at this point, there's usually some people I can delegate, you know, when I recognize it's either they're just better at, and so it's just kind of maximizing time. I think the team has, I think you just recognize like what each person is best at, and understanding like, even if it's something you want to work on, if there's someone that's better at it, it's just worth it kind of expected value wise to do that. I'm a very kind of like, when I'm thinking on tasks and trying to learn, it's just definitely kind of expected value. Like, what's the best return if we try to go down it? So if it's learning something that's completely out of my wheelhouse, but everyone else, it's even maybe more out of their wheelhouses, then I just have to suck it up and kind of do it. And I think it's just there's a lot of things that are helpful from a business side. So like sales, there's all the like being HR, things like that, handling payroll, yeah. Things, all of the above is just things that definitely you don't think about when you think about entrepreneurship, but it's a lot of the stuff you end up having to carry and kind of make sure that everyone's on track.
Right. Yeah. No, that's exactly right. You know, I mean, I think like if people want to jump out and start their own thing, like they want to open up a bakery and cause they love to bake, you know, and that's where they focus, but it's also learning QuickBooks or your HR platform and all of that kind of stuff that comes along with it. So what's next? I mean, where do you guys see yourself in, say, 5 years? You're the senior, you know, all of that kind of stuff, maybe get office space, but what does, say, 5 years look like?
Yeah, I mean, 5 years is, I think, within higher ed, a pretty long time. Like, I would hope by then we're really in a lot of universities, definitely closing in on, I mean, we'll definitely be over 200, hopefully, within 5 years. That's pretty...
Wow.
Goal. I mean, that's a pretty high, ambitious goal, since right now we're at three. I think next year, yeah, the thought process is double, the triple every year. And then if we're at partnered with that many schools, I mean, student wise, we'll hopefully, you know, just keep growing on the student side. I think there's a lot of interesting ideas that we have that we want to implement and see what happens. I think working in this space, it's a bit tricky, just because there's a lot of apps that try to do what we do. There's a lot of things that come into the space on the student front, but then fail. So I think we're really trying not to be insane. So just like trying the same thing over and expecting different results. So I think it's just going to be a lot of iteration. Who knows if we're going to even be in higher ed in 5 years. I'm assuming so. Hope maybe we'll be expanded out of it. It's really just going to keep, you know, following the data, seeing what happens. I think especially just staying alive is a big part. The more time that, you know, we're in the market, it's just probably higher probability of success. So just staying lean until we can really just step on the funnel, or not funnel, the engine and the gas, and just keep revving up.
Man, that's fantastic. Well, Blake, how can people keep up with you? How can people keep up with Meet Your Class, all the places?
I mean, yeah, you can connect with me on LinkedIn. We have a follow us on Meet Your Class at LinkedIn, also on Twitter or X, you know, pretty much on all platforms. You can follow us. LinkedIn, pretty consistent uploading there. So just, you know, feel free to connect or follow there.
Okay. Well, fantastic. I appreciate your time. This has been fantastic. And I'll make sure to link all that in the show notes in the description so that people can go and check you out. But thank you again. This has been great.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for having me.
Thanks for listening to this episode of How to Ride a Roller Coaster. If you enjoyed today's episode, please consider subscribing, leaving a review on your favorite podcast platform, and connecting on social. You can subscribe and follow on YouTube, Instagram, Facebook, and TikTok at Real David Ezell. To learn more about being a guest on the show, go to realdavidezell.com to find out more. Until next time.